feel a stir. We feel the stir, Lord. Stir us up. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. You are worthy, Lord, of all praise. Glory to your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Yes, Lord. Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for your almighty presence. God, we thank you for the healings that's taking place. Father, today the message is on teaching us how to speak it. Father, today as we praise it, God, we are speaking it. Father God, today you, Father God, are healing wounded hearts. God, you're setting people free today in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we just have an opportunity to come before you today to humble ourselves in the presence of an almighty God. God, nothing that you have to do for us. The price was already paid on Calvary, Father. And when we get this deep inside of our spirit, Father, when we begin to understand how good our God is, God, we'll walk in a newness. Father, we'll walk in a wholeness. And God, we will know that we are complete. God, we will no longer fight for victory, but Father, we will fight from victory. Father, today we come before the amazing grace, the throne of amazing grace today, and we thank you, Lord. Father, this morning we ask that you still our spirits, that God, you open our eyes, unplug our ears, and that God, you would speak to us so boldly this morning. Father, we rebuke anything that's not of you this morning. Father, we know the enemy always has ulterior motives, and God, we take authority over them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask now that you, Father God, bind the enemy in the name of Jesus and cast him into the pit of hell where he comes from. That God, you encamp legions of angels around us to protect us, heart, mind, soul, and spirit, because God, we're living in victory. So Father, this morning, as you begin to position us, we rebuke distraction and division and separation. Father God, draw us near to you, and Father God, in you we'll find our contentment of who we really are. Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory today. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you sit down. Well, just so you know, before I forget, and I know we got whatever month we're in. I think we're in September, right? Maybe, I don't know what month we're even in anymore. But anyway, it's birthday month, all right? So don't take off after the service. Down the hallway, we'll have the birthday party for you. And there's a lot of birthdays. So when I say, if it is your birthday this month, that means I want you up here. All right? So don't just stand back here and say, well, I guess we ain't got no birthdays. All right? A lot of birthdays this month. Many of you are here. So we want to celebrate you today. Amen? Amen. All right. And I want to remind you this evening, we got a special ceremony going on. It's a union and marriage. If you guys, Jason and Amanda, please stand up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, guys, and just remember this. Think about all the stuff the enemy's tried to do to you. He's never messed with you two at all. Never messed with either one of you. Jason's never had no spiritual warfare, and neither has Amanda. Not true. Not true. The truth is, too much is given, much is expected. Both of them, I can tell you, have been through hell on earth. I can tell you also, both of them have been delivered from that hell by the amazing grace of God. And today, when we join them in union this evening, I'm excited to see yet another victory in Jesus Christ. I love you guys, and I'm proud of you. This morning, I want to share to you that we have a stance that we need to take as Christians. Can you say amen? Amen. And so often what happens, I want to just be real with you. The enemy will sneak right up in your camp. You ever had the enemy come in your camp? We got to turn that fan down because it's got a lot of back noise I'm hearing. So the enemy will sneak in your camp. And so you know how it happens? People, places, and things. All right, so listen to me. I want you to hear this morning. What I've learned in ministry so often is one thing. The person that you think is your best friend, the person that is your next door neighbor, your coworker, the person that's drawing you and enticing you? Is it Jesus or is it someone with wrong influence? So today, you might have people in your corner today, and you might not even recognize it today, but you better start paying attention. Because the whole thing is the enemy's coming after you, right, man? That's all of our testimonies when we got around the wrong people, places, or things. You look at things and say, do they really have my best interests? No. Do they have God first? That is the key. So here's what you got to start doing to some of those things. You got to speak to them. Everybody catching this? And why did I come up with this message? Because of some things that's been going on for the last several months. It's time to speak to some things. And if you wasn't here last week, we spoke to some demons, and I plan on speaking to some demons again today. Amen. And the thing is that, you know, so often sheep, we look at them, they're actually wolves. And the truth is there's wolves, and the Bible's very clear that they'll look like sheep. They'll come in sheep clothing, but they don't have what they're supposed to have. They'll be emptied of power immediately, and you begin to understand that what you have is real, is genuine. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm not saying all this to scare you. I'm saying this to prepare you. You got to begin to know who you are and who you are walking in, and that means who you're walking with. You're either walking with someone else's agenda or you're walking in God's agenda. There's no second second best thing. Can you say amen? Amen. So I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to be in the book of Joshua. I'm not going to read it all. It's a lot of reading. I got it all up here if you want me to read it. It's a couple pages. But I'm going to give it to you, and I want you to look it up later. There's so much in it. But I'm going to just snap out a couple things out here I think that will change the way we think. Amen?
Amen.
And I think that's what we have. I call it stinking thinking. Stinking thinking, okay? So now this morning I'm going to be with you in the 10th chapter of Joshua, in the book of Joshua. And in there is recorded, possibly in my opinion, the greatest single miracle of the entire Word of God other than salvation. Okay? And I preached this in a revival years ago when I first got saved. And I was really one of the first messages. I preached this in Chicago. Of all the miracles recorded in the Word of God, Joshua was fighting with 5 Amorite kings. Anybody got a battle with somebody? Okay, well, listen up, because I'm talking to you. The person that might look like something there, you know what I'm talking about or not? Okay, it looks like it, but all of a sudden I got kings setting up pawns against me. I was like, where'd them come from? That's what happens in church, right? And so I've been sharing this last 3 months. I've been watching Satan set his pawns up. And I've been saying, oh, I see that. But what we're doing, we're winning the war, right? Yes. It doesn't matter what Satan says or what he does or who he acts through. It's who you are. And what you'll find out real quick is who you are. The second thing you'll find out is whose you are. Amen? Let's keep going now. We're catching on to this. Joshua was fighting with these 5 Amorite kings. He's so concerned. We get so distracted, all right? He's so concerned that these 5 kings and their armies will absolutely annihilate and destroy them. The Bible said when he goes to God in prayer, God hurts his feelings, right? He said, don't fear it. Don't fear it. I want to share this. Now, in Joshua chapter 10, I'm going to jump way down to verse 8. Read it all, that chapter 10, especially for this story, please, later. But in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 8, I want to pick up here. But there's a promise that's delivered here, and I want you to hear it today. Some of you have been fighting way too long. Some of you haven't done what you ought to be doing. I'll just go ahead, right there it is on the wall. Speak to it. Speak to it. I'm telling you today, we're going to hear something. We're going to hear some healing take place today. But we got to come to this place, and what's going on in Joshua 10 in this particular scripture, there's a promise at a crucial moment when the city of Gibeon, a strategic alliance of Israel, was under attack by the army of the Canaanite kings. We know that what was happening is the one that we thought was on our side, all of a sudden there's some attack coming, and I don't know where it's coming from, and there ain't just one of them, there's 5 of them. All of a sudden something's happening, and I can't figure out why I'm getting hit on every side. Everybody say, I didn't see it coming. Even when God warned you. All right. In Joshua chapter 10, I'm going to begin in verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Now, see, I know we got a problem. Because you know that your enemy has, I'm telling you, he's been given into your hand, and under your feet is where you've placed him. Let me tell you, somebody needs to be getting this and shouting this morning. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand to you. Yeah. Look at that. So I'm just going ahead and qualify right now. It don't matter what you're going through. If you profess yourself as a born-again believer, spirit-filled in the name of Jesus, it's time for the whining to stop. It's time to pull the knife up out of your sleeve, sheath, and it's time to begin to lop the head of the enemy off instead of him constantly lopping your head off. It's time to fight. Everybody say fight. It's time to fight. This verse provides divine assurance and a command of courage from us Christ followers. If we are really a Christ follower, it's time for us to stand up and fight. He didn't call you and ordain you and place his spirit up inside of you so you could be a spiritual sissy. He raised you up as a warrior, a giant in your faith. He's healed you and delivered you, and he set you free. Look at that. Okay, all right, we're getting it now. Then he said, I've already given you the battle. All right, they were encouraged. I'll look at that now. They were encouraged by God's promise, and his promise was a victory. God told Joshua, hey, man, chill out and don't fear. What's wrong with you? You got me. He's telling you to chill out. You got me in you. And it says, if I am before you. Not that you got him in the backpack of life, right? But listen to me now. This is good. But God told Joshua not to fear, promising that he delivered the enemies into Israel's hands and not one would stand against them. God's intervention leads to the miraculous. God's intervention leads to the miraculous. That's how I've met most of the folks that's in my church. We was at a place where we needed God to intervene in our lives. Me too. And when God intervened, what's happening today is you guys are a miracle of God. You don't have to believe in God, right, Todd? You don't have to believe in anything that God will touch you and heal your blind eyes. You just believe in God, and he says who he says he is, and all of a sudden, boom, you'll get your blind eyes open. All of a sudden, he'll restore, he'll deliver, he'll do what only he can do. Can you say amen? There's not going to be one of your enemies left standing, he says, when I'm done with them. And I want you to hear this loud and clear. In the 25 years of ministry, I can't tell you how much betrayal and denial and all this stuff has come against me. And I'm going to say proudly today, none of it stands today. And I'm going to tell you the same promise to stand for you today. You stand under the anointing. You stand in the presence of God. Let them talk like that song says. Let them talk what they're going to talk. Amen. Anybody know the song? I'll let you do it right now. Let them talk that talk. You just keep walking that walk. They keep talking that talk. And they're talking about you. They'll talk about Jesus too. Amen. Okay, let me keep going. You ain't heard that song yet? Janet, you should have been dancing that because I sent that to you when you needed it. You know what it is? All right. It didn't have the impact it did on me then. The brother's up there just saying, he said, I don't care what they say, man. He said, I'm just going to get that all out. I'm going to keep walking, man. You keep talking, I'm going to keep walking. Do you hear me? Just don't listen to the chatter of the enemies, what I'm telling you. If you're doing something right, the enemy's already hating you. He never liked you to start with, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he has for you. And when you get on the other side of the common, you begin to understand that God came so you can have a life of abundance. You know those things that's setting up against you, they're not of God anyway. And you can walk the walk and talk the talk. Amen. Now, hold on. Just four verses after the promise, and this promise is so powerful, there's a faith that wells up in the heart of Joshua, that before this day, there's never been anything like it. Did you catch that? Before this day, there's never been anything like that. Go into the next scripture, Joshua 10:12. Everybody say courage. Man, this is where it's at. So all of a sudden, when you begin to understand what's inside of you, when you yourself and the world's labeled you as a loser, an addict, a broken, whatever we label, shut your mouth, man. Yes. Don't talk to yourself like that. Amen. You belong to Jesus Christ, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are somebody in Christ's eyes. Yes. Listen, I'm sorry to offend the devil like that, but he can go to hell. Verse 12 says, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, listen to this, he begins to speak it. He begins to speak it with authority. He says, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon also, you stand still. I can tell right there many of you ain't commanded many things to leave or to stand still or to get away. But you're going to when we're done. They've never been in that dimension before. Man, I have been. I have been. I've been right in a revival before at a church that was completely split and not even know it was split. And they called me in and fed me, you know, as the evangelist to the wolves. But I walked in under the anointing of Jesus Christ. I walked in, didn't care what anybody else was saying or what they was doing to you. I didn't care that Christ wasn't there with them. What I cared about is when I walked in, I brought him with me. And when I walked into the division, he began to rise up in the name of Jesus and he began to do what only he can do. Amen. And then all that, I remember it very well. My wife would say, oh yeah, I remember that. And this guy was sitting in the front row about where Bree's at, and he began to rock and scream at the top of his lungs. He said, oh, ain't he holy? I said, man, he scared me. If I had hell in me, it just left, right? And I get up and I felt the anointing. I began to preach and I was like, whoop, head set up. I said, listen to me, you foul demon from hell. And the whole church, he's the biggest tither. I said, devil, you shut your mouth when I'm preaching. I said, you shut your mouth. And he was like on the floor for 2.5 hours. And he didn't murmur anything. Division was healed. God restored things. God moved back in. But it took somebody that would stand up in the name of Jesus and speak to that demonic presence in Jesus' name be cast down. Listen, I'm trying to get you to get this. We're talking about divine intervention. We're going to go place. Listen, they've never been in that dimension before, that divine intervention. They never walked in that vein before. Joshua points to the sun, and he commands the sun to stand still. It never happened before, right? Okay, let me keep going. And then he points to the moon and says, moon, you stand still too. But just remember, 4 verses earlier, he was in fear, and God had to tell him, fear not. So all of a sudden, I'm trying to paint a picture here this morning is this, that whatever has got you in fear, you need to begin to speak to it in the name of Jesus. You got to begin to put your lips out there and say, I command you in the name of Jesus to stop, to flee, and to get away from me. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Joshua chapter 10, verse 13. Listen, the devil's relentless. He uses people, places, and things. Verse 13, so the sun is stood still. Now that's weird, isn't it? Is that weird? Have you commanded anything in the name of Jesus? I've had all I'm going to take. I'm telling you in the name of Jesus. And it happened. Let me keep going. I'm telling you, you've done this. You've done this. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, and it is written in the book of Jashar. Listen, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. Now listen to verse 13. They stood still. God still responds. Look at this. You want to see it throughout the entire message. I want this to be your takeaway. God still responds to the voice of faith. God still responds to the voice of faith. Do you have enough faith? You want complete victory over your enemies this morning?
Yes.
It's time for you to begin to respond. Let's go on to verse 14. In verse 14 in Scripture, it says this. I've never heard nobody preach on this. That's why I like to grab this stuff, and I'm sure they have. It says in Joshua 10:14, there has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. The uniqueness of God's intervention. This is what it made me recognize. You know how unique it is? I was lost. I didn't believe in God. I was a professing atheist. I didn't want nothing to do with the God of the universe. That was who I was. It took something very unique to find me and to seek me out just so I could tell everybody else that Jesus Christ is Lord. It took some uniqueness of God's intervention and the immense power that was available to those who trust and obey God. And there's a lot of people that says, I'm going to fight for that boy in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to fight for that boy in Paintsville, Kentucky. I'm going to fight for that boy in Springfield, Ohio. I'm going to fight for him. And somehow he is going to find the Lord. He is the most vile, disgusting human being I've ever seen. But I know if I can get God to move up inside of him, God will use use something for His greatness, and God will begin to redeem and heal and set free in Jesus' name. Wow, look at that. That's powerful, isn't it? That's your story. That's who you are. There's never been a day like that. Listen to me. The fact that God listened to the voice of man is amazing to me. Never was there a miracle like it ever recorded in Scripture before. Never before had God made it, the universe listen to what a man had to say. Never. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we know the faith chapter, right? It's talking about faith. Faith is one of the major subjects of the New Testament. And we know this. The question is going to come back, do we have faith? Three of us. Well, you don't know how, Pastor, you don't know how tough the trial is. Faith. You don't know how bad I just got hurt. Faith. You don't know how down I am and where my destiny is. Faith. Faith. It says in verse 1 to start the faith chapter, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's faith. I can't see it. That's okay. He sees you. Right, Todd? Yeah, I don't know how you're going to do it. I can't see. I'm blind. He said, that's all right. I created those eyes. Woo! You begin to understand who He is. Can you say amen? Yeah. And we look at this. The Bible talks about little faith. It talks about a measure of faith, the gift of faith, strong faith. It says we're full of faith. And all this stuff is in there. Only two people in the New Testament, two folks in the whole New Testament are said to have great faith. Two people. Do you know that? Read your Gideon Bible when you're away from home, right? Listen to this. Only two. The first one I want to share with you is the Syrophoenician woman. Okay, the Syrophoenician woman had great faith. And this, I'm not going to give you the scripture. I'm going to say it to you, but I'm going to put it up because of time. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. The Syrophoenician woman had great faith. The word records this. She repeatedly, everybody say desperately. This is when you get really good, when you become desperate. So in your situation today, if you're not desperate yet, then you're going to beg some more until you get desperate. She repeatedly or desperately asked Jesus for help. Now I want to tell you what this is talking about. And in this scripture, it's the power of persistent faith and God's inclusive love. That's who the Syrophoenician woman is. Now, persistence and humility, I put that up there. Jesus was in the region of Tyre and Sidon when a woman crying out for help approached him. Her daughter was tormented by a demon. Everybody catch that? Well, we know some of them. Yeah, and always scared of them. They leave me alone, I'll leave them alone. Or I'm going to go do it in the flesh when I ought to be doing it in the spirits. You know what I'm saying to you? It's a war. It's a war. We're in a war. Listen, I'm trying to tell somebody something here today. Jesus said, look at this. Woman, great is thy faith. Your request is granted. His commendation, great is your faith. Now, there's only two in the New Testament. Here's your first one. We look at this lady and what's happening is she has a daughter who's demon-possessed. And you know what that would have to be like, and everything is going on, all hell breaking loose 24-7 in your house, and she don't know what to do, can't take care of no more. She begins to say, I've done everything else. God, I'm going to need you to do something here. What can you do? And God said, oh, I can take care of that for you. Right? You just got to ask. But listen to this. This is good. His commendation was great as your faith. Her daughter was healed at that moment. God hears and God responds is what I want you to take away from that scripture. So write that scripture down, study it later because it's good. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. God hears and God responds. Second one is in there. The second person in the New Testament with great faith is then the centurion's faith is asking Jesus to heal his servant. That also is in Matthew chapter 8, verses 15 through 13. Then the centurion's faith is asking Jesus to heal his servant. I'm going to break this down because this ain't our focus scripture today. The centurion said, I got a servant at home that is sick and dying. He requests Jesus to heal his beloved servant who is suffering from paralysis. He's demonstrating profound faith and trusting that Jesus will heal his servant. The centurion shows great humility, if you will, recognizing Jesus' immense authority, just like that authority that's been given to you with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't believe Jesus as a Jew should enter his home. He believes Jesus can heal his servant by simply saying his word. He says, if you just say the word. You know what I'm saying? But when he knew this and he said this, he was marveled. It says in Jesus that Jesus is impressed by the centurion's faith. Matthew chapter 8, I'm going to give you this one scripture. Verse number 10, check it out. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. When was the last time you said something and Jesus marveled? Huh? You hear me? Let me tell you. Let me tell you something. When you commanded and taken authority over the enemy in your life, Jesus ain't back there saying, oh, good job, Bree. You're good job, weak one. He's marveled. He's amazed. That's my child. And he's commanding me into the situation. Look at it. He marveled. And he said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in my chosen people. Israel. Look at this. That's powerful, isn't it? But my question will come out here in a minute, but why did he marvel? I want to give you a couple sides of it. The first one I believe to be true, but this they say in great faith. He marveled because of great faith, because he was, you look at this, the centurion was a Roman soldier. He was a Roman centurion. He was a Gentile, a person considered by the Israelites holier than thou people, right? Those Christian folks, some of us today. That was outside of God's covenant, and we don't deserve the grace of an amazing God. That's how we often look at church, and we think that God said he looks down on me because what I wear or what I say or my addiction or my brokenness, and that's wrong. That's the devil lying to him. You hear me?
Yes.
But I'm telling you, when he looks at you and you begin to say, God, will you redeem me and give me a husband and a wife? He says, I am marveled that you seek me first, that you waited on me, that you let me bring it together, that you allowed me to. It's not that it's a perfect union, but it's a union that's under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a union that said, I surrender it all to Christ, and whatever he wants, I am good with it. Just think about that. True faith is not limited by a person's background. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that. You thought your faith was limited by you're an X this, X that. You still struggle with this. You still have that. It says that whom I set free is free indeed. Amen. Jesus praises the centurion's extraordinary faith in Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. The power of authentic, humble, distant faith in Jesus and his divine authority right here in the scripture. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go and let it be done. Just as you believed it would, and his servant was healed at that moment. The centurion's servant is healed at the very hour that he claimed it, confirming Jesus' power and the centurion's faith. The Bible says when Jesus heard this, it says that he was marveled. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, this is the one that Paul said, all things are made possible in him, by him, and through him. This is the Alpha. This is the Omega. This is the beginning. This is the end. He is the first and he is the last, and what he says will happen, it will happen. He marveled. What was he marveling about? What was he marveling about? All the way from Joshua to today, he was marveling. He just met the first man that understood, no matter what or who thinks or what you think about me, this is a covenant that I have with God. And he says, if you'll draw near to me, I will draw near to you. It doesn't matter when the weapons form, they will not prosper in the name of Jesus. You begin to know that stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You will rise up against those weapons that are formed, and you will claim victory. Victory through the blood of Jesus. Yes. Look here, this is what it means, that heaven will listen to the voice of you. Shut the front door. What? Man, this is truth. This is the Word of God. God still responds to the voice of faith. But God, I just got a little bit. He said, well, mustard seed, sissy, that's all you need. You hear me? In the trials of life, we don't sometimes have but a mustard seed of faith. But he makes that mustard seed a giant. He makes your Goliath a speed bump. He'll take things that were certainly set out and orchestrated against you to destroy you and the generation after generation after generation, and he'll use you to grow it up, to break generational curses, to take the entire ship and turn it in a totally different direction. That's who your God is. The heaven will listen to the voice of man. God still responds to the voice of faith. The Bible's full of this. Let's check out Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Look at that. There's power and unwavering faith. You catch that? The problem is that we like to waver. Amen? Listen, if you ever catch hold of these things, men and women, you're going to be strong faithers. I'm telling you, the power of unwavering faith, it will achieve the absolute impossible. That's why you're sitting in this church today. Because unwavering faith got a hold of your impossible. It says in verse 23, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not. Oh, there's the problem. Go to the sea if you want to. Into the sea. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be so mean. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Truly I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes. This is it. Don't doubt, but believes that what we say will happen, it will be done for them. I'm just stupid enough to believe this. I believe that when God says, I'll raise the dead, he'll raise the dead.
Yes.
I believe that when he says, if I want to open blind eyes, I'll open blind eyes.
Yes.
I believe he says, if I want to heal, I'll heal. I believe that when he says, I want to take someone that completely thinks they're worthless and broken in an addiction, and I want to heal them for my glory, I'm going to heal them.
Yeah.
I can keep going, you know. I can take your financial ruins, your busted marriages. I can heal them. I can make them better. But in the midst of them, it doesn't look very good or promising. But he says, because you need to believe and trust in me. You got to believe and trust in me. It's what he's telling you. You got to believe. Speak to the mountain, and you do it in faith. No doubt in your heart, but believe in faith. What we say will come to pass. We will have whatever we say. Some of us have been fighting the enemy in our own strength. It's time for us to open our mouth to Jesus and begin to speak the infallible word of God and the word of faith in truth. Heaven is going to take hold of it, and God still responds to the voice of faith. Matthew chapter 18, in verse 18. And surely I say to you, now this is some familiar scripture. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Oh, I just like the binding part. Division, devastation, misdirection, half-truths, lies, lukewarmness, separation. It keeps going. You loosen that on earth, it might not only affect you, but it'll affect everybody around you eventually. And then you'll be holding the bag, wondering, whoa, wonder what happened. Wonder why my husband never did get saved when you're 90 years old. Wonder why my child never come to the Lord. Wonder why my kids don't follow the Lord. Wonder where my grandkids went. I know all about it. Now, surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Our decisions. And what this is saying, hear me loud and clear. They're affirmed in heaven. They are affirmed in heaven. When we begin to act, look at this. Put it up there for us. When we begin to act in accordance with God's will, they're just long. I got to work it out for God. I got to do it. It's all God. God's calling me. God's talking to me. God, 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 God. Everybody catching that? I'm not saying God ain't going to talk to you. But that don't mean he's talking to everybody else about what you're supposed to be doing. Let me keep going. When we begin to act in accordance with God's will, what we bind or loose on earth will be affirmed in heaven, giving it delegated spiritual authority for resolving conflict, excommunicating unrepentant hurt sin. Sometimes you got to excommunicate them people that's in your court. You got to begin to understand, look, you just ain't healthy for me. You ain't spiritual healthy. I got spiritual authority. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Because I don't need that. I need you. I need Jesus is what I need. In allowing the righteous decision to be made in faith. These are authoritative pronouncements and actions that reflect God's will. Are you reflecting God's will? Listen to me. This is powerful. When the faith that you have in God moves upon you, you can begin to bind the devil with your own words. You don't got to call preachers, oh, I'm struggling. We bind this devil up. Now, do it yourself. All right? I didn't raise you that way. Bind it in the name of Jesus. Right? You can begin to loose the blessings and the power of God with your own words. When you do it, heaven's going to follow suit. You have within you the power to speak the word of faith into every situation that the devil has brought up against you, the situation of sickness and disease. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You can begin to fight when you have things coming against you, whether it be pain, loss, suffering, financial, spiritual battles. I bind you in the name of Jesus. There's a dimension when faith wells up inside of you, then it doesn't matter what the enemy's trying against you. You begin to look back at the things that's been going wrong, and God still responds to the voice of faith. In the midst of your doubt and your trials, you begin to speak it, and God begins to rise up on your behalf. He begins to conquer those weapons that set up against you. We need to say it this morning. God, I declare with my mouth, and with my own voice,
my faith
is in you.
Is in you.
Give yourself a hand clap of praise. So when you speak that word, when you say, sun, I said, stand still, and moon, you follow it. When I command it, I believe it in the name of Jesus. The devil will jump up, and he'll rip you to shreds. But it still don't matter. I've been there. My wife's experienced this when I was an evangelist. I said, you sure you won't bind that woman up in the name of Jesus? He said, yeah, let's do it. And he jumps off there, and that woman picked me up and threw me like I wasn't nothing. I held on, though. My binder still wasn't broke. And when it was done, I said, man, we done killed her. She ain't breathing. He said, she'd be all right. The devil just left. She was a ministry leader. You listening up real good? I was cut all to pieces. I was gouged. I was tore up. I was thrown. I was beaten. And I kept saying, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. And when it was all done over with, she died. He said, she all right. The devil finally left that woman. She'd been walking around the devil her whole life. And I was like, man, that just taught me something. Watch who you hang out with. Don't give your mouth to the enemy. Can you say amen? God, I'm about to declare with my mouth, with my own voice, my faith is in you. When you speak the word, when you say, son, stand still, it's going to Jesus heals this sick woman. Listen, this is Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. Now, I ain't going to give you all this. I think he went ahead. He's overachieving back there, but don't read that yet. Jesus heals a sick woman with 12 years of issues of blood. Now, we know this. We've preached on this, the importance of faith, even in the midst of desperation. She was desperate. Amen? She had suffered a lot and had spent everything that she owned. Instead of getting better, it only got worse. Sound like us, don't it?
Yeah,
but I tried everything I could try. So all right, well, then get out of the way. That's how it works for you and I. Now look at this, the focus verse on this, Mark chapter 5, verse 27, 29. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in a crowd and touched his cloak, verse 28, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Verse 29 says, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. I want you to know, first of all, that Jesus is always available. And when society excludes you, God includes you. I want you to know that the truth is today that what was happening, she had 12 years of issue of blood and hemorrhaging, and she spent everything she had. She was so desperate that she just wanted to touch the hem of the garment. I want you to know that we've preached this sermon before, and no matter what you're going through today, you're so desperate that you can't take another failure, another shortcoming, and the crowd is in front of you, and everybody says, leave him alone. Leave him alone. That's Jesus of Nazareth. Who are you but a bleeder and unclean anyway? And God begins to tell you, and he begins to put, society excluded me, but God's about to include me. Amen. And she went ahead, and she pushed through the crowd, and she reached in, grabbed a hold of the end of the garment, and it says immediately she was healed. Somebody today needs to get desperate before the Lord. You've been hemorrhaging and bleeding to death, same old tree, same old knot, same old response over and over again. And he says, if you'll just get desperate. If you'll just get desperate. I don't know how she ever got to Jesus with thousands of people surrounding him, but I know that when she saw the hem of his garment, she reached out and she grabbed a hold of her healing. She reached out and she grabbed a hold of her cleansing. She reached out and she grabbed a hold of her deliverance. There are a few little words in there that when you study the story that make it so powerful. The Bible says she was pushing. She was pushing her way through the crowd that was trying to divert her. You got to push some people away from you that's distracting you. She was within herself. The Spirit of the living God is within yourself. If I just touch his clothes, I know that I will be healed. She talked herself into a miracle when everybody else was trying to exclude her. She didn't care what they said. She didn't care what the cost was. She knew that she needed something from God, and only God could provide it. She said, but if I push through. She spoke the word of faith into her own situation. She spoke sickness into healing with her own mouth, and God turned around and said, Shirley, power has left me. Someone has touched me. All you diverters, all you wrong people that's around me, somebody desperately touched my garment. And power has left me. It went into them. That's crazy, isn't it? You need to say to yourself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to leave here today finally victorious. No matter what it looks like, no matter what anybody else says, they go eat the cupcakes and have a happy birthday. I'm about to get delivered today. I don't know what you're fighting with. I don't know what it is you're dealing with. There may be a situation in your family or your job or your finances or your health, but God still responds to the voice of faith. But if you'll speak the word in faith, if you express your faith in God, if you speak it out loud, it will come to pass. Are you ready to receive a miracle this morning? God still responds to the voice of faith. You've got to speak it. You've got to speak it. You've got to speak it. You have to speak it. I can't speak it for you. Your best friend can't speak it for you. You have to speak it. My family will be saved. I speak it in the name of Jesus. My body is healed, and I speak it in the name of Jesus. My mind is healed, and I speak it in the name of Jesus. My marriage is healed, and I speak it in the name of Jesus. My finances are healed, and I speak it in the name of Jesus. My addiction is healed, and I speak it in the name of Jesus. Woo! See, the problem is some of us are afraid to speak it. We're even afraid to say it or to say it out loud. I've been free from addiction. I've been free from addiction. I'm free. I'm free from it. Because the devil says, oh, you're only free till the next time I beat the hell out of you. But I'm coming back after you. But what he doesn't recognize is what's really in you now. That's why it takes the power in a relationship with Jesus Christ to transform your life. You could have never done it on your own, but the day you met Jesus, you was a different fighter, amen? I challenge you to speak it. I challenge you to speak the word only, and my servants shall be healed. I challenge you by the authority of the word of God to claim what God has for you by the anointing that is in the house right now. You begin to speak it. Whatever the conviction is on you right now, you begin to speak it. I will no longer not be forgiving. I will no longer walk in that. I will no longer be bound up to that. I will no longer, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say it. Say it. Now say it like you mean it. Here's the problem. Look at it. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. God, I've been waiting on you. Would you please show up, God? He said, didn't you say you belong to me? He said, well, then, I'm waiting on you. Because I told you, Joshua stopped and held still the sun and commanded the moon to stand still. And I told him, don't fear, you got this. And now I'm in you. Are you going to command it to stop? Are you going to command it to flee? Are you going to command it to stand still? Or are you going to keep getting the same thing over that you always get? God, I wish you would take this. He said, well, quit receiving it. Yeah. God, I wish you would. He said, I already did. Yes. It was called Calvary. Yes. And you accepted me, and inside of you is everything that you ever needed. Anything that you will ever need is inside of you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You are not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. The same spirit that backed Joshua when he commanded the sun to stand still, and the same power now lives absolutely inside of you. The word says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Look, I'll write it down. Think about it. It says in Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Oh, God, I can't quit. God, I'll never do it. God, I'll never get the right spouse. God, I'll never get the right, I'll never be free. God, I'll never. He says, that's right, you ain't, because you're speaking it. And the devil says, yeah, they're on my team. Yeah, they think they belong to God, but they don't. They belong to Satan. Yeah. And God's saying, I told you, if you begin to speak to that dirtbag, he will flee, he will shut up, he will be diminished. He has no power over you. Now, I want you to speak to whatever God put on you. Whatever it is today, I want you to speak to it right now. 1, 2, 3.
In the name of Jesus, you
came out
my family.
One person. Only one, only two people. Stand up and say it like you mean it. Has anybody got anything from God? Do you want to be healed? You got to speak it in the name of Jesus. Yeah. For the ones that's not struggling and the ones that don't have that problem, there might be, I doubt there's any of us. Joel commands this out of us in Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Let the weak say, I am strong. God, I can't even claim it no more. It hurts me so bad. He said, then tell them how good I am. God, I'm weak, you're strong. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, where I read it. You got to say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it's done. It says it's already done. You just got to speak it. Yeah, it hurts, right? It hurts the hell you've walked through. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Now, believe me, I get it. You're not just a believer. The problem that we need to remember is you're spirit-filled. You're spirit-filled believers in Jesus Christ. You've been baptized in the only saving name there is, Jesus Christ. You're filled with the Holy Spirit and power. That means your words are not any noise. Your words are weapons. Your words are weapons against Satan, and what you say, it will be. This isn't name it and claim it foolishness that I'm talking about. Biblical authority is rooted in the revelation of who Jesus is. Look at that. Biblical authority is rooted in who Jesus is. We begin to know that. When you speak in faith, you're not speaking on your own merit. You're speaking in His name. And at that time, demons still tremble at the name of Jesus. Chains still break and fall off in the name of Jesus. Bodies still get healed in the name of Jesus. Families still get restored in the name of Jesus. Strongholds still come down in the name of Jesus. But you got to begin to speak the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, Paul said this in Acts. Listen, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. This power isn't passive. It's active. It's vocal. Is authoritative. I was in a pastor's meeting just the other day, and they made some statements about all the stuff's going on in the world events, and I said, that's what's wrong with the world. You forgot who Jesus is, and you forgot He's still in charge of all this. And then somebody said, well, I see you, Pastor, shaking your head. And I said, all right. You got something to say? I said, well, if you guys, all 12 of you don't mind. I stood up and I, with authority, began to rebuke the devil out of our room. I said, I don't care what you think about, who's preaching about what, who's doing what. I'm telling you the good, the bad, and the ugly. Inside of me is the Holy Spirit, and God is still in control. It doesn't matter how foul this world gets. Jesus is Lord and He is Savior. When Peter and John met this lame man at the gate called Beautiful, they didn't whisper a prayer of hope for a miracle. I used this at Ethan's, and some of you are here because of this prayer that I used at Ethan's a couple of months ago. Now, listen to this. I was in there, and it seemed like there's a lot of doubt, a lot of separation, a lot of pain in that room that night. And I got up and read this verse, which I don't do. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 says, gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have, I brought to you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See, true wealth isn't found in that gold and silver. It's not in the things you've chased your whole life. When you get my age, you're like, man, I chased that junk for nothing, man. And it comes to this place where we're talking about God's spiritual power and the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And he walked. Why? Think about why did he? Because faith speaks. He speak to it, come out of fear and into bold declaration, speaking healing over the family, deliverance over your mind, restoration to your marriage or your finances or whatever it is that you need. Speak against the darkness, bind the enemy, loose the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you. We're not going to, listen, we're going to go ahead and do this. We're going to go ahead and open our mouths. We're going to lift our voices, and this morning we're going to speak to it. Listen to me, stand up. I got a lot of sermon left, but you guys are asleep. Two of you was. You figure out who that was, right? We're going to open our mouths. We're going to lift our voices. And we're going to speak. I've done my best to preach to you today that everything you need is inside of you. And it's time for you to fight. It's time for you to allow that to come alive in you. This morning, I want you, if you find these conditions, to start speak to them. I want you to speak to the cancer. I want you to speak to the fear. I want you to speak to that prodigal child of yours that ain't made it home yet. I want you to speak to the depression and the anxiety. I want you to speak to the financial struggles. I want you to speak to the spiritual drought you have found yourself in. I want you to speak to the tormentor that torments you at night and only when you're asleep. I want you to speak to generational curses today. I want you to speak to those mountains and tell them you got to go today in the name of Jesus. Don't speak in doubt, but speak in the name of Jesus. Speak by the authority of the word. Speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You've prayed long enough. You listen, now prophesy. You've wept long enough. Now declare with your own voice. You've waited long enough. Now speak it into existence, because when you speak, heaven responds. God will respond to the voice of faith, just like it did for Joshua, just like it did for the centurion or the Syrophoenician woman, and just like it will right now for you. If you begin to allow it to speak for you and through you, lift up your voice in the house and speak it in the name of Jesus. I speak healing. I speak deliverance. I speak restoration. I speak salvation in the name of Jesus. Speak to it. Speak to it. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Speak to it. Authoritative. I speak it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I speak. You can't have me saved.
Yep.
You can't have me.
Speak to it, Holy Spirit outpouring. God still responds to the voice of faith. Say it until you feel a shift. Say it until you feel the heavens open up. Say it until you feel the chains fall off. Say it. Say it till you feel it move. Say it till you get deliverance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Phew. In the name of Jesus. Say it, brother. Say in the name of Jesus. Say it. Raise your hands. Declare it. Declare it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. No more in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, victory. Listen, praise team, come on up. Let's cut it off. We're going to cut it off, man. Get up here. Everybody needs it in the name of Jesus. Come on, praise team. I ain't going to preach it. I ain't going to preach no more. Come on up. In the name of Jesus. Oh, keep saying it, Herbie. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The devil's a liar. Bind him, rebuke him, cast him out in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. No more lies. No more sickness. Healing from the inside out in the name of Jesus. Something happens in the name of Jesus. Something has to happen in the name of Jesus. You have to leave here today healed in the name of Jesus. You got to leave here today spiritually restored. Today, you might think you was where you needed to be at, but you found out today you ain't been hollering the name of Jesus. You've been hollering the name of you. Now let's surrender it to the throne of amazing grace. Listen, the devil loves how smart you are, how cute you are, how positioned you are for his authority. Let's decrease today. And let's get at the foot of the cross. And we should be saying, Jesus, I have to have you today. I have to have you today. They're going to start the music. And I'm expecting God to revive you today. Are you expecting it? Come ready.